Welcome back to the Lex Files, listeners. It's been a long 5 months since you've last heard from us to do this show having its 5 month break. We were missing out a lot. But before we hop into the show, let's talk a little bit about our summer vacation and what we did. John, how was your summer vacation?
It was great, Kevin. I got a summer job. I was working at Circuit City.
Oh, awesome. I love that store.
Yeah, great low prices. They really treat their employees well.
You sound like you're a shill for the man, John.
You know, I wouldn't want to say I've sold out, but Circuit City is a fantastic store.
Because they're low prices on electronics?
And I just think that, you know, it's got a career potential for me.
So you think it's going to stay around for a long time?
I think so. Everyone needs electronics.
They're
becoming more and more part of our lives.
Absolutely. And you know that new store called Best Buy? That's not going to last.
No, Circuit City's got them beat.
Yeah, I mean, it's red versus blue.
Over.
Everyone knows red's better.
So, Kevin, how was your summer vacation?
It was great. Family took me on a long trip across the country. Saw a lot of different places. We saw New York City, Statue of Liberty, saw the Twin Towers, drove down the coast, and up in New Orleans. Beautiful city. Absolutely gorgeous. Loved it. You know, had a great time.
Was it Mardi Gras time?
It was not Mardi Gras time. I would love to see some boobies, but, you know, being only 17, probably won't be allowed to go down there for that time frame. You know what I did see? Yeah, baby, yeah. Sorry, Austin Powers, great movie.
Great movie.
You know, Mike Myers, I hope he has a really strong, funny career, just like Adam Sandler.
And Dana Carvey.
Oh, Dana Carvey, yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Great summer vacation.
Yeah, it was a great summer vacation. We had a lot of fun, and I saw the sights. But let's get back into the show.
Yeah, let's get into episode 3, Eating Patterns.
Yes, Eating Patterns. Now, it's not a show about eating disorders. Well, it kind of is, actually, because everyone's starving to death, right? I mean, the crew is starving.
They're all looking for food. Even the Lex himself is out of food. His reserves are completely empty.
Right.
Stanley's trying to order just this huge, opulent meal, and the Lex has kind of a food dispenser, which is a dick like the shower heads.
Right.
Works the exact same way, but it dispenses whatever kind of food you order.
But here's my question. Is the Lex only like shitting out shit-looking food and tasting because it's hungry itself? Or can all it create is poop, but tasty poop?
It seems like, yeah, it's usually creating a paste of some kind of whatever the flavor. Because Stanley's ordering like, you know, double chocolate milkshakes and things like that, but all that's coming out is this nasty looking baby food paste.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah. So
okay.
Stanley...
Okay. It's early in the show. It's very early in the show, but I got a beef. So what the fuck is up with the food and the packaging? Lex confirmed in the opening for this episode that the food we saw being put onto the conveyor belt wrapped in plastic was for him.
Right. He said that he loved it.
Yes. Again, why is it put in plastic?
Yeah, there's no reason for them to package it all up and...
And then feed it to Lex that way.
Yeah, and organize it and sort it out. It was pointless.
No, just shove it in his mouth, he'll be happy. So my thought was maybe the plastic keeps it safe, like saran wrap, preserves it. But what, they stop the ship, get out, unload his cargo hold, and put it into the front of his mouth? It makes no sense.
It's possible they're preserving it. They never mentioned it, but...
But why else would you put it in plastic?
Yeah, why would you need all that? Maybe while it's in the reserves, they don't want it to rot or attract space maggots.
If you're in the... space maggots.
Yeah, you
shit.
Don't want space maggots
they're
in
huge.
Your food reserves.
That is true.
They'll blow through that in just a matter of hours.
But if you're in the Divine Shadow, you don't give two fucks about people. Land on a planet you own, have it munch down on some forest or people, and fly away. It feels like they're doing a lot of work for no reason.
There could be a long delay between finding planets that are good for the Lex to eat, though.
I've got a theory about this. So, the Divine Shadow, as you know, I'm kind of a fan of their style of government, right?
Right.
However, it seems like it has a lot of bureaucracy. It's big, it's bulky, it's you know, a top-down system.
It's not an agile government.
No. So maybe the Food Packaging Union, you know those sons of bitches, right? They decided all food has to be packaged in plastic before it gets sold out for some, like, health reason. And the Divine Shadow and his people just go along with it because that's the rules of the bureaucracy. The Divine Shadow himself allowed to be created. This is really a tale of big government, I think.
All right, so we are on the Lex. Everyone's out of food. The Lex really, really needs to stop at a planet to get some food. They get a broadcast from a guy wearing a hard hat, goggles, and a preacher robe.
Was it a preacher robe?
It looked like a preacher robe. It had the kind of white neck part on the front. That's what kind of what's putting me onto it. Yeah.
Sure, that'll work.
They are on a secondary resource planet, which basically means a garbage dump.
That sounds like they got straight from a video game. Go to the secondary resource planet of Alphacron 5.
And what was the name of the planet? I actually didn't catch that.
Nor did I. Just the shit planet, really, is what it was. Like,
it was a garbage planet.
But why do you need a planet to dump your garbage on?
Well, the other planets nearby were using it, but they have all since destroyed each other in a war.
Right, but if you got interstellar travel, why not just shoot your load of garbage into the sun or into a gas giant? Why spoil a world that's green and you could possibly support a population?
Maybe for composting, it actually is.
Oh.
Long-term sustainable, but it didn't seem to be that
way. Maybe they're going green.
Yeah, they're all the other planets in that solar system were going green.
So back to the guy on the broadcast. He's kind of out of his mind. He's rambling on about the planets being destroyed. They need help. They're running low on food. And you're meant to see, as a viewer, his neck bulging and something trying to get out of his neck. But did you catch the blood in the background?
I didn't even see that.
Oh, yeah. So in the background, walls, there's like blood splatters everywhere. So it's just more of an eerie setting. And Stan, correctly for once, was like, let's not go to that planet. He actually told 790, find that planet and we're going to blow it up so I never have to go there.
Exactly. So Stanley just wants to blow up the planet. Zev insists that they're going to stop there because they need to get food. And in fact, eventually the Lex just makes the call for them. He needs to stop.
So. Right. The Lex is, again, like a horse. It'll listen to you, but if it's hungry or thirsty and it has needs, it's going to satisfy those needs because it can't fight its nature anymore. So Lex has decided to go munch on a planet.
But before that, Stanley and Zev consider eating the brains.
Yes, that's right. They have a heating unit to start frying one of the brains to eat.
The brains are kind of saying, like, eat number 16, he deserves it. They're all turning on each other. Yeah, brains!
Yeah. So, of course, when you have a problem, who are you going to call? It's Kai.
Yeah, they try to wake up Kai.
But Kai is like frozen dead.
Seems to be out of it. They're not able to wake him up just by opening his cryo tube. So Zev gets the bright idea to shock his head with a cattle prod. Not once or twice, but three separate times. Long sustained shocking to his head.
Stan is loving this because Stan, while he's upset, I think Kai's dead because Kai takes care of bad guys for them. With Kai out of the way, he might have a shot at Zev's sweet, sweet vag, which he does not have a shot at.
With Kai out of the picture, yeah, that leaves just him and Lex, really, and 790.
You think she's going to fuck the Lex? The Lex has enough dick-like protrusions, you probably could. Oh, I wonder if the dick could create a dildo for her.
Maybe. Or there's the shower head, right? Women do that.
Oh, yeah, they do. There's a lot of movies I hear. So they get back to, they finally land on the planet.
They decide to give Kai a burial.
Right.
So they dig up a very shallow grave, about 2 inches deep, I would say.
Hey, it's all you need to do, okay?
Yeah, they just kind of shovel some dirt over him and close him in this kind of like metal capsule. And decide that's good enough. They say some really weird eulogies.
Well, Stan doesn't want to do a eulogy. Stan just is like doing because Zev asked him to. However, again, Stan makes more sense. Stan said that let's just shoot him into space. Now, Stan's saying that out of laziness, but if you're in space, that's what you do. Star Trek does it.
He just really didn't want to go to that planet.
And it makes sense, but if we're ever on a giant spaceship, or really a spaceship of any size, and I die, shoot me into space. I don't give a shit. Like, just say some words over me, put me on the airlock, who cares?
Yeah, or just eat me. I'm dead.
What do you think is the best part of you?
I think, like, the thighs or something would be...
You do have some nice-looking thighs. Sumptuous.
Yeah, they're nice.
All that soccer.
I do a lot of jogging, Stairmaster.
No, yeah.
So after the funeral, they go to this abandoned-looking structure, which is kind of cool. It's a little bit like the factory at the end of RoboCop.
I feel like it's a oil derrick, almost, because it's above the rest of the ground. Oh, and the ground on this planet is just trash, and the Lex is just eating that up.
He's loving it. His reserves get pretty filled up just from eating that.
Yeah.
Stanley and Zev flew over in the Moth to investigate the structure. Zev wants to go in and look around to try to find food.
Stan's like, fuck no, we're not doing that.
Yeah, Stan says he's going to give her 3 minutes and then he's going back to the Lex.
And Zev actually got very upset about this. She's like, Stan, don't joke about leaving me behind. Because she needs him. I mean, Stan is for all of his faults.
He's kind of in charge. He could leave without her at this
right.
point.
Right, he can do whatever he wants, and the Lex is going to listen to him because it's the Lex.
So Zev and 790 go in to check out the building.
Oh, can we back up a second?
Sure.
Okay, so 790, I don't think we've talked about him enough on the show. 790 loves Zev so much, always says these weird things about her. And what did you write down about what he called her this time?
Oh, it's coming up here soon while they're investigating.
Oh, is that how he does it? Okay.
But yeah, I want to go back to Stanley. Zev wants to go in and check it out. Stanley just keeps calling her stupid, too. Really not wanting to go in there. He turns out to be pretty smart in this instance.
Yeah, cowardice can come in handy.
So Zev and 790 are going in there. They're looking around, and they come across this box. And Zev says, oh, what are they? And 790 says, boxes, baby.
No, all I'm referring to is he also calls her love gun.
Right, she drops the box when so they see someone inside of here. They try to grab the box and take off. They decide to kind of dive through a side hatch, basically. She tosses the box out and then just falls and lands on her ass. And 790 says, did you hurt yourself, love gunk?
He has all these terms for her. And he also does this weird poetry thing. Where he's on the ship itself, just scanning the universe for planets. He just says weird Zev things the entire time.
Zev, at this point, after falling out of the side hatch, gets dragged off by her hair. And then these green dots run through her and scan her, basically checking to see if she's alive, we find out eventually. It turns out, of course, she is. She gets bonked on the head.
But we're missing a really weird part, though, John.
Oh, what am I missing?
So after it scans her, it leaves an image of her on the cement ground beneath her, and then the image vanishes. What the fuck is that for? And what scanning technology do you have to leave an imprint of them on the cement floor, and then it vanishes? A second later. It was so weird.
It's really weird. Then enter Snick, who is kind of a disheveled hobo, bonks her on the head, and he drags her off. Stanley eventually comes in looking for Zev. He considers flying. In fact, he actually does take off just a couple of feet and then lands again.
Right.
Gets out, heads into the building looking for Zev.
Oh, he's too afraid to live on his own either. I mean, if Zev is gone and dead or he leaves her behind, he's totally alone on a massive spaceship in the dangerous part of the galaxy. He's not prepared for that. No one is. Especially not Stan Tweedledee.
And we kind of find out how not good he is at dealing with these situations. He comes across a cannibal holding this, like, a semicircle blade on the end of a stick. And
yeah, like
chopping
a scimitar on a stick, yeah.
Yeah, he chops the legs off of a corpse, holds the legs up in the air, and offers them to Stanley and says, want a trade? Then he's looking Stanley up and down and realizes he's clean. And that's, I guess, what the cannibals are looking
for. He's
clean!
A few issues here.
Stanley should have run away.
Exactly, that's the issue. Stanley should have run away. But instead, he does the terrible cliche in shows and movies of just staring at this threat, whatever the threat might be.
Right, this cannibal's slowly walking towards him with these legs and with this saw on a stick.
And it's a good minute before the cannibal even sees him. But he just stands there frozen until the cannibal is within, like, striking distance at him.
Right, and then a girl pulls Stanley through a vent, and her name is Whist. Now, Whist is a cute girl.
Creepy
obviously,
as fuck.
Yeah, a little creepy.
Do you
her
like
outfit
me?
I really don't know how to describe her outfit. I ended up writing down trash bag spider web.
That's good. Basically, if someone covered you in rubber and then threw acid on the rubber suit and there's holes in it, that's what you'd be left with.
Right, like Freddy Krueger's face, but blackened and as an outfit.
But she's a cute girl and kept saying, do you like me? Do you like me?
Do you want to kiss me?
Yes.
And she does kiss Stanley.
Because it's Stan, he's desperate. Actually, I would have kissed her too. Honestly, like, I mean, Zev's not gonna do anything. You're alone. Weird girl on a planet wants to kiss you.
Yeah, just saved you from a cannibal. She seemed good enough.
So in this circumstance, I would be the princess and she's Mario.
Wait, so you're saying Stanley's the princess?
Yeah, oh yeah, Stanley's the princess.
Sure.
Get saved by Mario. And then obviously, if you save a woman, she has to kiss you. It's a rule.
Right.
A very good one. Well.
So Stanley gives her the kiss. There's obviously something weird going on with the kiss. Something's being transferred from her into his mouth was what I took away at the time.
You hear like crunching, munching sounds while this is going on.
And shrieking.
It was
like a high-pitched shriek, kind of like the cluster lizard worms, but not exactly like that.
God, I miss this book dick worm so much. So at this point, Kai is buried.
Kai is buried, and then one of the metal tube that he's buried inside of, something kind of opens it up and pees into it.
Yeah, it's like 10 holes it drilled into his box, and there's peeing on him. And the pee wakes up Kai. It's magic piss.
And we find out it's an enzyme that was injected into there to find out if there's living tissue.
It's piss, Joel.
But it's just piss.
It's just piss. It's snake piss.
So then Snick, the disheveled guy who has Zev captive, is trying to sell her to this other cannibal place to trade her for some pattern.
Yeah. Get that pattern, kids.
Right. And then we're introduced to kind of the leader of this whole society that's in this thing. And they all seem to be addicted to whatever pattern is. We're not sure at this point. We meet the king.
It's PCP.
It's glowing green PCP liquid.
It's like a surge. She actually probably stopped drinking surge then. Or drink more of it. I don't know.
We meet their king, Bog, the weird motherfucker from the transmission they received on the Lex.
And I was really hoping his name was Bob.
Bob.
King Bob sounds awesome.
Yeah, King Bob would be good. But Bog, right. Also a pretty good king name.
And he's just a happy, crazy cannibal person. Basically, listeners to, if you haven't seen the show, one, stop being fucking ridiculous and go watch it. Two, this whole planet is basically Mad Max Lex style with the weird leather outfits, and the whole aesthetic of it is very dystopia.
It's a dystopian post-apocalyptic, because all of the other planets blew each other up in a war, and this is just kind of the stragglers left on this garbage planet.
Right.
So they're all addicted to some drug. We're going to find out a little bit more about that in part two of the episode. But first, folks, we have a special interview here. The creator of Lex... Lex Gigaroff, after this brief message from our sponsors. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, John.
Are you tired of paying high long-distance fees for your telephone calls?
Boy, am I.
Well, then I've got a deal for you. Just pick up your phone, get ready to place your call like you normally would, but first dial 10-321, then 1, then the number. It's that easy, and you'll get low rates as low as 5 cents a minute.
How low?
5 cents a minute, Kevin. Overseas, long distance, even to people's cellular telephones. You know someone that has one of these new cellular telephones? You call them, same low rate.
What's that number again?
It's 10-321. Use it for all your calls.
All the calls.
Okay, folks, welcome back. Our special guest has arrived here in the studio. Let's welcome Lex Gigaroff.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show, John.
Great to have you here. You're the creator of Lex, a show that Kevin and I both love.
Of course you love it. It's the greatest science fiction show of a generation.
You're very confident in that.
I am. I have seen the show. I have the entire show mapped out ahead of time. We are very efficient in German Canada.
So yeah, you are a Canadian German.
Yeah, eh?
Yeah, eh? Okay, that's what
they're saying. It's very common to say that. It's not very funny, sir. Why are you laughing? I come with your podcast, and this is how you treat me?
I'm sorry. Let's move on to the interview.
Excellent. Excellent idea.
So tell me what kind of projects you're working on now. Can we look forward to more seasons?
Yeah, there'll be several more seasons of Lex. I have several more, how you say, penis things I want to explore. Really explore the penis in space.
Like more shows about space penises?
Perhaps. You know, my own penis was my inspiration for this show. Yeah, one time I'm showering nude with my boyfriend, Otto, and I look down at my, you say, Johnson?
Yeah, we do say Johnson.
Johnson, yeah. My Johnson, and I'm like, hey, you look like a dick that could go in space. And so I made this amazing show.
So you're showering with Klaus?
Otto,
sorry.
You're Klaus showering. Klaus is my ex-boyfriend. I don't talk about him very much.
Sorry, you're showering with Otto, you look down, catch a glimpse of your penis.
Oh,
and...
it was not a glimpse, sir. It was the whole thing. Cock, shaft, base, und balls.
That's just great. And that was your inspiration for the ship, the Lex?
Yeah, why do you think the show is named after my penis?
So your penis is also named Lex?
Why else would I name it?
Good point. So what other kind of projects are you involved with?
Oh, I'm involved in lots of things. I do some lumberjacking.
Oh yeah, Canada?
In Germany, yeah. I spent hours in the Black Forest chopping down the trees with little woodland creatures following me around. They follow me around because I've destroyed their habitat, you see. But, you know, it's cute still. It's very cute.
You like to cut down the creatures' homes. You're a lumberjack in Germany.
Yeah, I cut them down and then I like to tag the animals and then I send them away.
For tracking, scientific research?
Sure, let's go with that.
Right, okay, let's go with that. Anything else that you do in your free time?
Oh yeah, sure. Like all of the Canadians, I'm involved in heavy metal, death metal.
You're in a Canadian death metal band.
Yeah, we used to be called the Mucifers. Now we are the Later Hosers.
The Later, I like
it. It's very clever, you see.
I get it.
Yes, I bet you do.
Do you tour with this band?
When shooting... schedule permits me to, yeah. We just did a huge tour. We did Yellowknife. We did Edmonton. Our opening act was Pocahontas of the North. Oh, she is fantastic.
She's, for those who don't know, Pocahontas of the North is the Inuit rocker slash stripper.
Yeah, we call it the burlesque. You know, it's very sensual.
She's kind of like the Inuit Josie and the Pussycats.
Actually, I would not say that. I think it's a dumb idea. I don't know why you said that, so.
I apologize.
It's fine. We can just keep going with this.
Sure, let's... How were your shows? How was the tour?
Oh, yeah, the tour went great. You know, we've only had 3 stabbings, which is a new record low for us.
3 is a record low.
Yeah, oh yeah, lots of stabbings. Yeah, my music is very, very intense.
So, wait, hold on. At a normal concert, then how many stabbings?
Oh, maybe 5 or 6 per concert. It really depends on the crowd. You know, because you really get amped up on the maple syrup, on the heavy metal. Just get really fucking hyped up. You know, what's very important for heavy metal is, you know, my axe.
Your electric guitar?
No, my fucking axe. I said there were stabbings. What I really meant to say was me axing people.
Your lumberjacking axe.
Yeah, obviously. Her name is Helga. Every German names their axe. Everyone knows this.
It makes sense. And so you use your axe. Do you actually play the guitar as well?
Oh, no, I cannot play guitar. But no worry. The audience loves when I hack shit.
I like it when you tap into that sweet musical syrup.
Yeah, that's sweet cervix.
Sweet cervix.
Sweet cervix is actually a side project of mine.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's that? What kind of project?
It's mainly pornography.
Scat?
Oh, no. That scat is so old school. I'm neo-scat.
So what's neo-scat?
This is big in Berlin on Hamburg.
This is pornography.
Yeah, it's pornography. You know, when you have 2 men slapping each other. Yeah, pornography. It's very good, yeah. It's all the rave.
Great, so let's move on to some of your ideas for upcoming seasons of Lex.
Well, as I mentioned before, I'm gonna have some really weird shit coming up soon. I might have Zev become a man, because, you know, looking at this past season, the one thing that Zev is truly missing is a penis. So she needs to have one, obviously.
So what else? Any alien races coming in?
Yeah, some dick races. Some big juicy cock races, sure.
Sure. And what was your inspiration for the brains?
Ah, the brains, yes. The brains, they make me think of mine country folk.
In Germany?
No, in Canada. Yeah, see, we Canadians are so pleasant and so nice. Like I have been during this interview. So we push down a lot of our emotions. And maybe the brains are how we come out when I'm writing. Like, let's say in the episode with the milk-fed boys. Clearly, that's a sexual fantasy of all Canadians share. But we can't express it. As I am a hybrid, I can explore them for them. I am perhaps the most important Canadian since the Gretzky.
Wayne Gretzky?
No, Heinrich Gretzky.
Heinrich Gretzky from Germany.
Yeah, but he's very big in Canada. He does the songs with the children. It's very cute.
He's a singer also?
Yeah, like a folk singer. He doesn't use an axe, though.
No, what does he use?
A spear.
So completely different from you.
Yeah, I mean, my inspiration may draws upon him some. He blazed the trail of, you know, that I followed. So it's very good. You know, I'm very excited for the Lex going on for at least 10 seasons. I mean, a lot of material to cover.
That would be amazing, 10 seasons. The show also is kind of at the cutting edge of CG and computer graphics. What's that like?
Oh, it's painstaking work. It takes hours and hours of motion capture to get the performance just right.
So you've got the actors wearing kind of the green suits with the things?
No, my friend. My penis, yeah. My penis has all the little bubbles on it, you know? Like the little balls that they captured. And then I wiggle my cock around. And that's the Lex in space, yeah.
So the motion capture is all only done on your penis, not with the actors.
Occasionally, Kai will jump in and we'll touch his penis too.
Perfect, thank you.
Stanley's penis, I do not want to see. That thing is horrible.
Well, the end result is fantastic.
Yeah, it's hours of this penis wiggling. I mean, the vroom, vroom, vroom through space, that does not come naturally. They have me suspended on a harness on the stage. And I am just dangling around my penis flapping. You know, sometimes I'm hard, sometimes Otto does a little fluffing. Fluffing, you know fluffing?
Yeah, I know fluffing,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, so I am, you know, got a big high Lex.
Yeah, you can put the Lex away right now, in fact.
I didn't know if you want some visual aid for the listeners. It's about, I don't know, maybe 13 centimeters long, weighs about 2 kilos in case you've abandoning.
So Mr. Gigarov.
Oh no, John, we are become good friends now. You can just call me Lex.
Thank you, Lex. What's it like on the set of Lex?
Oh, it is fantastic. We have very good catering on set. We have poutine on syrup every day.
Right, because you guys do your filming in British Columbia, Canada.
No, we do it in Hamburg food.
Of course, in Germany you get poutine.
Yeah. And very good beer. You know, I mean, it's known for the beer.
Yeah, of course. Germany is world renowned for their beer.
When we record in Nova Scotia, Nova Scotian beer is the best beer in the world.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Oh, you're most welcome.
So tell me more about the future of the series, where you want the characters to go.
Well, are you familiar with the hero's tale? You know, the hero's story?
The classic hero's tale? Absolutely.
Yeah, the hero. Well, in my show, I have the hero who is clearly Stan, right? Yeah, he's the hero of the show.
Wait, so Stanley's the hero of the show?
Yeah, clearly Stanley is the hero of the show. He is patient. He is very practical, and he's a very efficient pilot, if you think about it.
I never realized that Stanley was intended as the hero.
Yeah, Kai is this fucking cowboy. He is brash. He goes and he shoots people with his little gun, which, you know, is the gayest thing I could think of. Is that a great character because she has the big titties, you know? So that's great.
She's a great character because she has big titties?
Yeah.
So there's no character arc coming for Zev?
Yeah, well, Zev is a fantastic base for the character because, you know, she has the white hair and the white bush. The white bush was a lot. You know, the studio wanted to fight me on that. I'm like, no, if you want Lex Geigerhoff on this project, you're going to have to give her a white bush. I am an artist. I would not be undermined by some Jews in a suit in the studio. I'm sorry. No.
Wow.
Yeah, no, they're very polite people in the studio. They just try to fight my vision. Let's go back to Zev. Yeah, Zev is a fantastic character. You know, backpedal.
Mr. Geigerhoff, it's been a pleasure having you here on the show. I'm a huge fan.
Well, you know, John, you've been so polite to me. I would invite you to maybe come on the show as an extra, perhaps, or maybe even a speaking part.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, just pull your cock out.
What?
Pull your cock out. For the show, I must know your penis matches the aesthetics of the legs.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, I must see your penis. So I'll lock the door.
Maybe if I'll
get on the couch. Oh, yeah, you're perfect. Thank you for listening. Put down the poutine. Now back to the Lex Files. John, did I miss the interview with Lex Geigerhoff?
I don't want to talk about it, Kevin.
What happened, John?
Nothing. Let's just do part two.
Okay, well, folks, thanks for listening. Part two of the Lex Files, episode 3.
When we left off, we had just met Bog, the king of the trash planet.
Bog.
And we just are finding this weird civilization of people who are addicted to pattern, drug of some type.
You know, I don't do drugs because of DARE.
That organization has kept youths off of drugs in my neighborhood and thousands of others.
Yep, I just drink lots of alcohol, so it's fine.
Millions of cities across the United States.
Billions even.
So we get back in and Bog is holding kind of like a game show. Reminded me of Wheel of Fortune where they strap two people on this spinning, just a spinning post or a spinning wheel. And it spins around and points to if they'll be receiving a flask of pattern or if they will be having a limb removed.
Yeah, they're going to lose a limb in exchange. So I think getting back to really how green the society is, you can't just consume. You gotta give something back.
Right, there's one winner and one loser in every game, and they use the limb to create the patter that they use as a prize, or actually
create
more. What's the spoiler?
That they're gonna, you know, cut and use them for the machine.
Oh, I thought they did that. They explained that
did
here.
They?
Yeah.
Did they, John?
I got it.
Are you spoiling it for all the listeners who have not listened to this show yet?
Well, I understood it at that point, Kevin. Maybe some of our thicker-headed listeners may not have picked up on it right away.
He doesn't mean it, Neil. That's staying in. That is fucking staying in.
We'll know if he's really listening.
Yeah.
So they spin the wheel. There's two guys on there now being spun around. One of them is so excited. He's like, I'm a winner. The other guy, it turns out, is going to get his limbs cut off.
Well, he's getting shafted, though. Bog comes in and gives the winner his prize, which is pattern. But he only gave him a third or fourth of a flask because they're running low.
Right, he gave him a quarter flask when he was supposed to win a flask. The guy that lost was only supposed to lose one limb and he lost two.
Right, so instead of getting a full cut, he's going to get a quarter cut and try to argue his case quite well, actually, if you think about it.
It was a good try, but we knew
it wasn't going
to happen. Yeah,
it's a crazy game they play.
They cut his legs off and he wants to go for another round. That's how addicted they are to pattern.
Pattern's some great stuff, obviously. I'm going to try some myself. I'm going to get all fucked up in pattern, guys.
At this point, Whist shows up with Stanley and brings him to meet Bog.
When Whist shows up, everyone kind of cowers from her. It's clear that Whist has power and is kind of in charge because she's bossing around the king, Bog, from this planet.
There's kind of that core entourage of Whist, Stanley, and the king that are running things, and everyone else is... Go ahead, Kevin. You look excited about this.
Can we please talk about how crazy Stan is once he has the thing inside of him? He smiles so hard like the Joker from Batman and just giggles like a madman. It's fantastic.
He's demented looking. He's under Whist's control in some way, it seems like.
He's Jack Nicholson from Batman. He's just, hee-hee-hee-hee, I love pattern, hee-hee-hee-hee. Yeah. So, like, he just loves it so much. And it's great. Him being controlled or whatever this episode is my favorite Stan they've done so far. It's great.
Stan kind of talks to them for a bit, finds out they're looking to find more bodies to turn into pattern, and he says, well, I know where there's a fresh body, having just buried Kai.
Right, he's excited that he can give Whis some good news. So the three of them go out to find Kai's body in the, as we mentioned, extremely shallow grave, but...
it's empty. Kai has woken up, we saw that before, so he's not there. Stanley has a backup plan, though. They ask him, is there anyone else on the ship? He says, oh yeah, and he takes them up there to the brains.
Yes, the brains are back, and they are pissing themselves, basically, if they had penises still, over this.
These cannibal guys are just gonna turn all the brains into pattern, so they're just stuffing them all into burlap sacks.
And they're treating them like how you would grab a head of broccoli. Like, you grab them by the brain stem, like, oh, this is a fantastic brain. Yeah, this would make great, excellent pattern.
They were kind of laid out like a supermarket.
They were, yeah.
To be honest.
This one's, $5.99 a pound, and a little too much. The great thing is the brains are turning on each other. Take 16! 16 deserves it, take him! No, take the other guy! The brains are still the best part of this show.
They're on the ship collecting the brains, and Kai is coming in to save the day, so he shoots his wrist rope up there. Super slow tows him up there. It takes so long.
We all have to suspend our belief to how long the rope is, because it's like, what, 300 feet, 400 feet up?
It just tows him up just
so slowly.
2 feet per second.
Yeah, it's commonly slow, but that little grappling hook thing is the greatest tool for him. So they get to the habitat, and we cut to Zev. What we didn't mention before was when Snick explained to the guys who are making pattern that he has a body, they want to have proof. So they obviously said you need to have the head as proof you have a body. So Snick is trying to pull Zev's unconscious head off her body. She's like comically trying to pull it off, like it's gonna pop, you know? And it's so great. So the other guys get in there.
The guards for King, his kind of muscle, comes in and steals her from Snick. Snick is like, no, I need the patter. I need it. And suddenly we find out why they need the patter so badly. Inside of him, there's kind of a rumbling and a worm suddenly just pops out of him.
Yeah, it pops out from his neck, which makes sense because before we saw that the guy who in the broadcast had something in his neck trying to break out.
Exactly. And we find out it's these worms that are actually the ones that need the patter. And if they don't get it, like what happened to Snick here, they will eat your brain and kill you.
And when they eat your brain, your eyes also get sucked in, sucking in the eyes. It's a great, great bit. And also, this scene shows the phenomenal CGI of this TV show.
The worms are amazing looking. They looked real, I thought. I was actually kind of scared at a few points.
I was scared, too.
They take Zev, and they're getting ready to stuff her in the pattern machine on a conveyor belt. One of the guys just tosses 790 in there with Zev.
Because why not?
The machine has kind of spinning blades, so of course they get jammed on 790's robot head.
Oh, we're missing something. Let's not call it a beef, but a pork, maybe. It's not quite beef territory.
Oink, oink, oink.
Oink, oink! So Zev is a strong female character. They've established her as such. She's in charge, kind of, because she can manipulate...
on the ship, sure.
But if they go to planets, she ends up being a damsel in distress.
She just keeps getting knocked back out again. Every time she wakes
knocked
up, someone
out.
Else bonks her on the head.
And they're
head.
Trying to cut her. Last episode, they're trying to cut her. The first episode, they're trying to squeeze the fat out of her, which thank God they did. And now this episode, they're trying to slice her up
And turn her into this glowing green drug.
Right. And this episode, fellas, is really big on panty shots of Zev. It's just panty shot after panty shot after panty shot.
When she's trying to escape inside the habitat.
Panty shot.
She's constantly crawling.
Panty shot.
Everywhere, so it's just upskirts.
Panty shot. Yeah, this might as well be like an upskirt porn, which I'm not
opposed to that. I'm just, you know, wanted you guys to know, FYI, public service announcement. Panties.
So they heave her in the machine with 790. Machine jams up on his robot head, of course.
Well, Zed actually saves herself, remember?
Oh, she grabs 790's head.
She grabs 790 with her legs, flips him into her crotch, panty shot, and he's staring right into her crotch. And what does he say?
You know, I didn't write it down.
It's like, this is the happiest day of my entire existence. So then she tosses him with her ample, supple thighs into the grinder and stops the machine.
Right, and one of the cannibal dudes just says, oh, yeah, dude, you put a robot head in. Like of course that's going to happen. Yeah. Now, so Kai has gotten himself into the habitat, and he finds one of the girls, kind of like Wisp, but not her, who's pulling the same old, do you like me? Do you want to kiss me? Spiel on Kai. Him being dead, of course, it's not working.
And Kai is so proud of being dead, he will tell everyone who will listen, I am dead. I am Kai.
He does bring every conversation around to being dead. It's like, just come on, Kai. Just talk to him.
The show is beating it with a dead horse that he's dead. And we'll go back to one of the tropes of the show. Wist clone, or lookalike Wist. She kisses him. He says it's not going to work because I'm dead. And then he kills her by stabbing her in the stomach.
Yeah, a bunch of worms come out of the wound all under the ground.
Wound or womb?
Wound or womb.
It could be a womb. It was in the uterus area, really.
Yeah, he did shoot her right in that area. But
actually, might be above the uterus.
It might have been the stomach.
Yeah, it could be a stomach wound. Like a uterus stomach.
But either way, a whole pack of worms just spills out of the uterus stomach.
Then in comes another Wist, and he decapitates her, or kills her as well. And then we cut back to the machine that makes the pattern where...
They're tossing the brains now in the machine.
And
the brains are saying, after they fill up the machine with the brains, they are then putting them on the rack. And the brains are like, no, not the rack. Like,
and Zev is awake now and is on a rack hung from her black restraint, which I knew they'd come in be a problem, John. Yeah, she's hung there and she's apologizing to Stan. I'm sorry, you were right. We shouldn't have come here.
Stan barely remembers who she is, being under the worm control, as we find out that he is.
Right, she tries to, like, seduce Bog, but Bog would rather have pattern than pussy, so Wist wins.
So first, they make some pattern out of the brains they've brought there, and they're all fucked up on pattern.
Kai shows up during this time, and they open the door, and they're excited because it's one more body they can throw into the machine. It's Kai. So they have a guillotine in the doorway that perfectly decapitates Kai, and then his head comes out of a chute into them. They put his head also on the rack.
Right, the viewing slot in the door doubles as a guillotine.
Yeah, it's a very ingenious creation. So Kai
has basically infiltrated by getting his head cut off into the room. His body's still outside the door, but they eventually bring it in anyway.
And spoiler alert, Kai doesn't care about getting his limbs chopped off because he's been cut in some fashion every episode so far.
Right, this has been kind of the formula, is Kai gets chopped up and then he reforms and saves the day.
That's exactly what it does. What a lazy writer.
And so the pattern from the brains is some primo shit.
Oh, it fucks them up.
They are all fucked up. Then they all kind of...
Hole.
Yep, they all at one point decide, you know, they ask for permission to go to the hole. And they kind of crawl to the hole. All of their worms come sticking out of their neck and just start vomiting this green pattern down into the hole. And Bog is like, love that hole.
Oh, love the hole, guys. And they're all, it's like, they're it's just like tripping balls.
Right, it's like a mushroom scene in a movie.
Yes,
they're all
very
acting.
Much, yeah, exactly. Finally, Wisp picks up Kai's head, and surprise, his eyes open up, and his body, who was dragged into the show, to the room as well, caws his... grappling hook, grabs his head, probe blood, reattaches it, and now he's ready to kick some ass.
That's right. So they all want to basically take Stanley with them to fly them to other planets so these worms can keep infesting more populated areas. So they're keeping Stanley alive, but everyone else, all the worms just decide to eat their brain, and then they all jump into the hole as well, right, to feed the queen. Which is Wist.
Yeah, Wist. The real Wist wants to kill the queen. We didn't cover that part. But now we have to find the queen's in the hole. Kai kills the Wistels above with them and tells them to get Stan back to the Lex. The only way to save him is probably to kill the Queen. And so he just, you know, heroes it down there, jumping into the hole. And now it's time for maybe the weirdest part of the show. The Queen's giving a monologue about why you don't have to kill me, blah, blah, blah. And it turns out it's because you can always pass on your life through having a child. So a princess has been born. For some reason, maybe because of the scan at the beginning of the show, the princess for a second looks like Zev.
Right. She at first takes the form of a gigantic Zev.
Like 20 foot tall.
Taller than that. Yeah. And she was enormous.
And she's all talking to Kyle. Can't kill me. You can't kill me. Kai gives a fuck?
Yeah. Like Kai's going to fall for that too. Like, yeah, like no, Zev is not 100 feet tall.
Yeah. If he was conflicted, oh fuck, you look like my friend, I can't do this to you. No, he's our shootinger, but it's very inefficient.
It takes several shots.
And even then, it goes back down to its like amniotic fluid, and then it reappears as a giant version of Whist. So the Lex in this part is taking off.
Well, not yet. Oh. So Zev escapes now. Kai, after he reforms in there, he frees Zev, so she grabs 790, Stanley, and some of the brains.
Yeah,
Zev
actually saves all the brains.
Saves the brains that weren't eaten yet. Right. She brings them back to the Lex, and they love her for it.
Oh, what did they say to her?
Like, oh, thank you, nice lady.
Oh, we love you. Anything you need, we'll provide to you.
Which is great. I'm good to see everyone getting along on the Lex.
Brains really are about self-preservation at this point.
And so they are on the Lex. They're preparing to leave. They can't take off because they know that Stanley's worm will kill him if they try to leave without the Queen. So the Queen tries to then climb on the outside of the Lex. What am I missing?
Stan, her fighting.
Oh, and her punching the worm.
So Stan is is in the pilot's booth and is trying to take off from the planet. And Zev is trying to talk him out of it. And Stan, well, Snake Stan, just knees her in the goddamn face. So now, surprise, Zev has strength again and just starts beating the crap out of Stan.
Yeah, she also punches his neck snake.
Yeah, but it's too late because the ship's already taking off and starting to fly slowly over the planet, even though he's only at 96% recharged. Which is still pretty high for being a giant bug.
That's plenty.
Right. He flew for months without food. He's okay for right now.
So the Queen is climbing on the outside of the Lex. The Lex is saying, distress, I am being penetrated.
Yeah, she's got this worm tongue. So she's huge. She's like 100 feet tall, 200 feet tall, this Whist version. She latched onto the Lex and started putting her tentacles all over it. And her mouth became a giant dick that barreled through the Lex and became a worm with the face of Wick on it.
It's a worm, but not on it. Like, it's not just a human head on the end of a worm. This is a worm with an open mouth, and the human head is inside the mouth, like a hologram.
Wait, like a hologram?
It looked like a hologram.
No.
You think it was just the actual head?
Well, it had to be. You think this alien has holograms that, like, birthed into it?
I think so.
Wait a minute, let's back up for a second.
It's possible.
You think that this new queen has hologram technology just for the explicit purpose of having it done? That's not weird to you. That makes more sense than having her have the head on the snake.
Well, it had the form of giant Zev, so whatever the same thing that created
that
form.
That wasn't a hologram, though. That's just,
Well, whatever, not a hologram,
then. The queen can take shape of anything she wants. I'm concerned why things are a hologram.
Well, because it was partially transparent.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, fuck me, it's a hologram.
Maybe, yeah. See, like, it's like a worm anglerfish.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's the queen's face is kind of the bait.
So this snake dick tongue thing with a face on it is inside the Lex now, even though the main part of the body is outside the Lex, and is chasing Zev through the Lex while she's in a moth, one of those little ships. So this thing is miles long, coursing itself all through the Lex, trying to find Zev. Kai has jumped onto the Lex and is trying to be efficient at killing the Lex, or trying to kill this thing, but his one little shot, you know, does no damage against something that's 200 feet tall, 300 feet tall.
Yeah, at this point, the Lex has been kind of pleading for help from Stanley, and no help is coming, so he just kind of takes matters into his own hands, flies up a little bit, blows up the planet, and then uses some of the chunks of the exploding planet to squash the queen off of him.
Her head, yeah.
Squash her head off of the outside of him, which was really awesome.
Yeah, the Lex is like, oh, I've had enough of this shit. I'm going to take care of myself now. The Lex is great.
They've escaped, and their food supply has been mostly refilled. Happy day. Stanley is ordering his food again at the dick dispenser.
Yeah, the dick-shaped food dispenser, right.
And this time it just gleefully blasts all over his face with this creamy liquid food. And Zev and Kai all think it's hilarious.
Yeah, Kai has the emotions, but, you know, a guy getting cummed on the face by a spaceship dick food dispenser, hilarious. So the dead only are only amused by dick jokes, clearly. Oh, what a weird fucking episode. It's so weird.
It's a very weird episode to get us back into this after the break.
Yeah, they amped it up. I know how they're going to top Jigarada and the weirdness, but they have.
Yeah, I think we've got one more episode of season one coming up.
Yes, that's true.
And that'll be on next week, so be sure to tune in for our podcast after the episode airs.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to episode 3 of The Lex Files. If you want to hear more about us, you can go on the line to thelexfiles.angelfire.com, and you can contact me via email at thelexfiles@hotmail.com. And for those of you who are listening in the future, you can follow us on Twitter at #thelexfiles. Auf Wiedersehen!